Good evening, y'all. Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Hosea. Hosea chapter number 4 tonight. Hosea chapter 4. I want to bring you a message tonight entitled Heaven's Courtroom. Heaven's Courtroom. And so let's read just a few verses. Really, we'll read down to verses 12 or 13 tonight. I do want to ask, I know you had a number of prayer requests tonight, but I want to ask that you keep praying for a van rider on Wednesday nights. We have a driver, and we have a rider right now, but we need a permanent rider. Brother Nathan has volunteered to drive, but we need someone that will be constant in riding. So just keep praying about that. Keep praying that the Lord will work in someone's heart about that. And just another prayer request for us. Verse number 1 of Hosea chapter number 4, the Bible says, "Hear the word of the Lord." Who's he speaking to? "Ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest." And the idea there is simply this, is that he tells them, look, don't reprove someone, don't blame it on someone else, don't strive with someone else. He's saying, because y'all won't listen to anybody. He said, you definitely won't listen to the priest, and the priests aren't any better than you are anyway right now, but you won't listen to the priest, so don't blame anyone else. Y'all don't listen to anybody. Verse number 5, "Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways, and reward them their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase." Notice this, "because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks and their staff. And their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains, and burn incense upon the hills, under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery." And I say to us tonight, here we go again. And we say that a lot, but here's the truth. It always, always comes back to God's Word. It's always about God's Word. And it's always about either our obedience or disobedience to God's Word. And that is where we find the nation of Israel. He says in verse number 1 that he has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Why? Because there is no truth. In verse number 6, he said, "My people are destroyed." Why? For lack of knowledge. Now, there's no doubt they were full of knowledge, just like our land is full of knowledge today, is it not? But it's man's knowledge. It's not the knowledge of the Word of God. And he said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge." He says, "Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God." In verse number 10, he says, "because they have left off to take heed to the Lord." It always comes back to the Word. These first three chapters have introduced us through Hosea's home life. They have introduced us to the sad state of the nation of Israel during Hosea's day. And the condition of the land was simply a direct result of Israel's disregard for God's holy word. And by the way, that's the same with any nation, is it not? I mean, we can talk about our nation tonight, but it's the same with any nation that begins to go away from God's Word, begins to leave its moorings of God's Word. They begin to go in a downward spiral, and many times they don't even see it. They don't even recognize it. And that's what's happening to the nation of Israel. By the way, human beings are funny. We're funny people, aren't we? And I use the word funny. I don't want to use we could use a different word, but we're funny because we really think that we can disregard the laws of God without any ramifications or consequences. Look, if we can, just as we will never be able to break the law of gravity without consequences or ramifications, we cannot break God's law without ramifications or consequences. You go up in an airplane and you say, I'm going to break the law of gravity. I'm going to jump out with no parachute and nothing's going to happen to me. Surprise, surprise. What's going to happen to you? You're going to hit the ground hard. You're going to hit the ground so hard, you're probably going to die, right? But we have this idea that we can do the same thing with God's Word, that we can disregard it, that we don't have to listen to it, and there will never be any consequences or ramifications. We already looked in verse number 1. The Lord states that He has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. And that word denotes the idea of an indictment brought forth in a court of law. God has filed charges against His people based upon His perfect truth. And by the way, He is the judge, He is the jury, He is the prosecutor, He is the executioner, whatever word you want to put in there, He's all of those. And He tells the nation of Israel, He says, I have a controversy, a dispute, a quarrel, a charge against you. So tonight we want to look at heaven's courtroom. And I want to give us 3 points of truth tonight, and we'll develop those a little bit. And I pray the Lord will stir our hearts. Look, this is no doubt, this is where our nation is. We've left the Word of God. Look, all this foolishness that's going on in our nation, it's going on because we've left God's Word. Did you ever think, did you ever even imagine? I never even imagined. I know we can read the Bible, and the Bible says that in the latter days, in the last days, perilous times will come. I get that. But did you ever imagine that we would be dealing with some of the foolish activities that we are dealing with in our nation today? That we're even having to vote on certain things in our nation? We're having to... And businesses are pulling their business out of states who are simply trying to do that which is right. I saw a news story last night, just probably a 1 minute clip of a story about our state, and it was on local news, and about our governor, and about some of the, they called it anti-LGBTQ proposals that are coming through the legislature right now. By the way, some good stuff that's coming through our legislature right now. There's some good things trying to be done. They've already passed the bill that will not allow transgender, whatever, boys to play girl sports. That's a good thing. But that's what I'm saying. Isn't it crazy that we're even having to deal with those things? Well, that's what happens when there's no truth. That's what happens when there's no point of authority. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. And what is right in one person's eyes is, if I feel like a woman today, then that's what I'm going to be today. See, that to us, that's foolish. And let me ask you, why to us is that foolish? Is it because we're bigots? Why is that foolish to us? Somebody tell me. Because we have a point of authority. Because we have truth. God made a man. God made a woman. And if He made you to be a man, that's what He wants you to be. If He made a woman to be a woman, that's what He wants her to be. We ought to embrace that. That's what God made us to be for a reason. And we look at that and it makes perfect sense to us because we have truth. Someone who doesn't have truth looks at that and said, well, if they want to be a girl today, let them be a girl. Who are they hurting? They're hurting civilization. That's what they're hurting. They're hurting our nation. That's what they're hurting. And so let's look here tonight. There's no doubt we could make comparison. We're not going to do that necessarily tonight. But I want us to see what was going on in the land of Israel to make God say, I have a controversy against you. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Father, we sure do love You. And Father, we're thankful for Your Word, which liveth and abideth forever. And Father, we're thankful that we have a book, we have Your Word, which shows us how to live this life. And Father, I pray that You'd help us. I pray that You'd help our nation. I pray that You'd help us to stay moored and anchored to truth. Because, Father, we have example after example in the life of the nation of Israel. We have so many examples of what happened when they left Your truth. And so just remind us of a few things tonight. Lord, I know that probably won't be anything new to us tonight, but Father, I do pray it'll stir us a little bit. I pray that it would remind us. I pray that it might even commend us a little bit tonight. I pray that it might even challenge us, stir us, convict us if that would be necessary. And Lord, we just ask that You would help. Father, be with those that are away from us tonight. Some, it doesn't matter for whatever reason. Lord, we just ask that You'd help them in a special way, Lord. Be with those that couldn't come because of the weather. Some are sick. Some might be traveling tonight. Some may have to work late. We just pray that You give them a blessing wherever they may be. I pray that most everybody's watching the live stream, those that couldn't be here. And Lord, we just pray that You would bless every single person in our church family tonight, Lord. We just ask that You would work in their hearts and lives. And Lord, just continue to grow us and sharpen us and just making us better. We pray for the little ones, the kids and the teenagers tonight. Father, I pray that You just continue to place Your Word in their hearts. And Father, if there's one here tonight without Christ, Lord, I pray that You'd help them to be saved. I pray for that one that might be here tonight who has some doubts. They've made a profession of faith and may even be living well and may even be living obediently to Your Word. But boy, when they pillow their head at night, they have doubts. Just not sure if they're truly saved, if they really understood. Father, I pray that You'd help them to settle that tonight. Help them to understand there's no embarrassment in that. There's no shame, Lord, that we'll rejoice because that has been settled in their lives. Father, just help. Teach us, and we'll give You the praise. We'll give You the glory. We'll give You the thankfulness for what You're going to do in our hearts tonight. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let me give you number one tonight, and we've already mentioned it, but let's see, first of all, the controversy from the Lord. And I want to go quickly tonight because we have a number of things to cover, a number of points and subpoints, and I just want to develop it all and get it all in tonight. So first of all, as we think about the controversy from the Lord, first of all, had a controversy with their foolishness. He had a controversy with their foolishness. And we find that in verse 1. They were foolish because they chose to walk away from truth. We find it, look, we find it over and over in the Word of God. We find it especially in the book of Proverbs. We find the comparison of wisdom and foolishness, of the wise and the fool. And the fool is the person who does not listen to the tenets, to the precepts of God's Word. And the wise person, wisdom, is found when we listen to the Word of God, when we fear God. That's where wisdom comes. And the Bible says in verse 1, his controversy, the first reason for his controversy, for his quarrel, for his dispute with the nation of Israel is because of their foolishness. They had the revealed Word of God, but they chose to walk away from it. And by the way, they chose not to pass it from one generation to the next. They were foolish. And he had a controversy with their foolishness. By the way, let me say this. The only worthwhile thing that we can pass from one generation to the next is truth. Now, we can leave money, and that's good, and that's right, that's biblical, and we can leave houses, and we can leave possessions, and we can leave many, many things, but anything that's going to be worthwhile is going to be grounded in the truth of God's Word. So first of all, the controversy from the Lord. The Lord had a controversy with their foolishness. Second, the Lord had a controversy with their filthiness. He had a controversy with their foolishness. And by the way, they were filthy because they were foolish. You see that in verse number one? He says, because there is no truth. Okay, what happened when they didn't have any truth? Okay, then they didn't have any mercy. Then they didn't have any knowledge. And then what happened? We find in verse number two, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out. The Bible says, and blood toucheth blood. And the idea there is this, there's one sin after another, there's one crime after another, there's one bloodshed after another, to where blood is touching blood. The Lord had a controversy with their foolishness. They had walked away from the truth of His revealed Word. But then the Lord had a controversy with their filthiness. And let me say this. Immorality is always preceded by idolatry. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. When we take God off of His rightful throne and we begin to worship other things, idolatry, then what follows? Immorality. What happened when the nation of Israel took Jehovah God off of His rightful throne and forgot about His Word and forgot about His truth and disregarded His truth? What followed? Immorality. Immorality is always preceded by idolatry. When someone takes God off of His rightful throne, when God is no longer preeminent in their lives, you mark it down, immorality is going to follow. Sin is going to follow. Iniquity is going to follow. And when truth was taken away, then there was no mercy. There was no mercy, then there was no knowledge of God in the land. Look, we do not live in a civil America anymore, do we? People just aren't civil to each other. And by the way, we haven't been allowed to be civil for the last year, but you walk by someone and smile at them and they just look at you like, why are you smiling at me? Well, I'm just trying to be nice. But if you don't want me to, I won't smile at you. We're just not civil anymore. We just can't even be friendly. Look, I may not agree with you, but I can still be civil to you. I can still have mercy toward you. And the Bible says, nor knowledge of God in the land, then verse 2, it's just a list, a catalog of their filthiness. By the way, we'll get into a little bit more of that in just a moment. He had a controversy with their foolishness, first and foremost. And then He had a controversy with their filthiness. And then thirdly, the Lord had a controversy with their forgetfulness, verse number 6. We already read it. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. He said, I will also forget thy children. He had a controversy with their foolishness, their filthiness, their forgetfulness. And by the way, notice verse number 7. The Bible says, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Now, I think there's a couple thoughts there. The increase, it could be talking about the increase in numbers when God blessed them as a people and they grew and they grew and grew. But I also believe the idea there is when they were increased with possessions. When God blessed them in the land of Canaan, look what it says. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Now, when God blesses us and God increases us, what ought be the reaction? Say it. Thankfulness. It ought to be thankfulness. But instead of thankfulness, it was forgetfulness. Instead of being grateful, look what God has done for us. Look at the blessings. They forgot. And again, and I'm not trying to be repetitious tonight, but my goodness, isn't that what's happened with us in America? We have forgotten where our blessings have come from. We have forgotten why we are who we are. It's not because, look, it's not because we're something special as a people. It's because of the one who we have served for so long. And now we've just forgotten about him. God, who's that? We don't need him. But we just get in this machine and just go. Yeah, we're driving it right over the cliff. He had a controversy with their foolishness, with their filthiness, with their forgetfulness. And then lastly, fourthly, the Lord had a controversy with their faithlessness. Did you look at verse number 12? Verse number 10, he says, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. And then verse number 12, he said, my people ask counsel at their stocks. What is that referring to? What are the stocks referring to? No? Well, that's a good guess, though. What's it referring to? When you see that word stock, especially, mainly, I don't even know if you see it in the New Testament, but when you see it in the Old Testament, it's referring to a piece of wood. So what is he referring to here? Say it again. Idols. Look there, verse 12. Look where they're asking counsel. He said, my people ask counsel at their stocks and their staff. It's talking about the idols that they have crafted with their wood, with their stocks, and even with it. Let me just read it. He said, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a whoring from under their God. This is what we've been talking about for the first three chapters. Spiritual adultery. They had left God and they had gone after other little g gods. And God said, I have a controversy. Not only with your foolishness, you don't have any truth, you don't listen to truth anymore, but your filthiness, your forgetfulness, and then your faithlessness. You're not faithful to me anymore. You're asking counsel from gods that can't. Yeah, they have ears because you have fashioned them, but they can't hear you. They have mouths because you have fashioned them and created them, but they can't speak. They may even have arms and hands, but they sure can't do anything for you because they can't even move. They have no life. These little gods that you... Isn't it amazing? Something that these people created themselves, they're worshiping. Think about that for a moment. They created it. Whatever the idols were, whatever the idol looked like, whether it was the golden calf, whether it was an idol made out of wood, they created it. They're the creator, but yet they're worshiping it. Like it could possibly do something for them when they're the one that created it. The controversy from the Lord, number two. Number one, the controversy from the Lord. Number two, the corruption in the land. The controversy from the Lord. He had a controversy with their foolishness, with their filthiness, with their forgetfulness, with their faithlessness. Secondly, we see the corruption in the land. First of all, I want us to see the profanity of its priest. The profanity of Israel's priest. Look at verse number 5. And by the way, if you'll remember when we studied through the kings of Israel, the Bible says in 1 Kings, and it's been a long time ago, so you may not remember, but the Bible says that Jeroboam, who did he make to be the priest in Israel? Anybody remember? Wasn't even the Levites. They were supposed to be the priests. It was supposed to be after the Aaronic priesthood, after Aaron. But who did he make to be priest? The Bible called them the most common of all the people. That's who he made to be priest. We know he set up the two golden calves there in Bethel and Dan so that the people wouldn't go back to Jerusalem to worship. We know the Bible says that he was the king that made Israel to sin. And now, you have these priests. They don't care anything about God's Word. In verse number 5, the Bible says, therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. And some believe the mother there could just be talking about someone's mother, or could very well be talking about Samaria. Could be talking about Samaria. Notice what he says in verse number 8. verse 7, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore, I changed their glory into shame. Verse 8, they eat up the sin of my people. That's talking about the priest. He said, they eat up the sin of my people and they set their heart on their iniquity. That's the priest. Instead of rebuking the people for their sin, they're relishing in it. They're reveling in their sin instead of rebuking it. He said, look, they eat up. They're glad when the people sin. And there shall be, notice verse 9, and there shall be like people, like priests. And I will punish them for their ways, and reward them their doings. Why was the land so corrupt? Well, one of the reasons, if not maybe one of the main reasons, is because the priests were corrupt. The profanity of its priest. Instead of getting up and preaching and rebuking and saying, oh my goodness, we're not even close to being obedient to the Word of God, they liked the fact that everybody was involved in the sin that they were involved with, idolatry and the worship of Baal, the stealing and the lying. In verse number 2, the committing adultery, the corruption in the land, the profanity of its priest. And by the way, in Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 23, it tells us specifically that the priest were supposed to teach the people the difference between that which was holy and that which was profane. Well, they weren't doing that at all. They weren't making any difference between the holy and the profane. And that's what... Look, now here's the truth tonight. I don't expect y'all to be any different than me. Y'all ought to live holy just like I ought to live holy, right? Absolutely. But listen, if anybody expects anybody to do right, people expect the preacher to do right, don't they? And when the preacher doesn't do right, it's a big what? Scandal. Did y'all hear about that? Did y'all hear about the preacher over there? Why? Because people, whether right or wrong, we've got it off course a little bit, because if a person's a Christian, they ought to want to live right. Doesn't matter if they're a preacher or not. But everybody understands, look, the preacher ought to be the one telling the truth. The preacher ought to be the one living the truth. And man, they weren't doing it here. They were living just like the people. And by the way, they were leading the people to live profane lives. We see, first of all, we're talking about the corruption in the land, the profanity of its priest. But, and I kind of hate to even mention this, how many of you have seen the story? And I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but how many of you have seen the story about the rapper who has put out the satanic tennis shoes? Now, I'm thankful Nike has sued him because he used their logo without their permission. They have sued him to stop selling those. But I saw this week, I saw a preacher that everybody would know his name if I mentioned it, but I'm not going to do that. A preacher and his wife recently in a photograph with this rapper. That's the profanity of the priest. Listen, I'm not gonna be photographed smiling with a $20 million smile with somebody who, for all intents and purposes, maybe not at that moment, maybe they didn't know what he was doing, but is a Satan worshiper. And by the way, maybe he's just doing it for publicity. I don't know why he's doing it, but he's doing it. And here you have this pastor and his wife, so-called pastor and his wife, and they're taking a picture with this guy at some music award show. Lots of things bad on many different levels there, but the profanity of the priest. God help us. Let's just move on. The profanity of the priest, secondly, the decline of its decency. We're talking about the corruption in the land. The first thing we see the profanity of its priest. But secondly, we see the decline of its decency. Again, verses 1 and 2. And again, when truth is removed, man will deteriorate into more and more evil. Listen, 50 years ago, even people who may not have been saved, may not have even been Christians, they still acted decent. Do we see the decline of decency in our nation? Just decency. Just acting right. Just treating people right. Just, why, you know, people would never, used to never curse in the presence of a lady. Now, they shouldn't have cursed anywhere or around anybody, but they would definitely never curse in the presence of a lady or a child. And man, now it's nothing. You pull up to a red light beside somebody and they're playing the most, the wickedest music with the worst profanity and language you could ever think about. And you're like, please, please, like, turn. Kids, put your hands over your ears. Something, I don't know, but don't listen to it. Because it's so profane. Josh and I pulled up to the courthouse in Brownsville the other day, had to go in and get the tags renewed, and we pulled in, and he got out, and here came a car in and pulled in. Man, the music was just so loud, and it was so filthy. I said, Josh, I said, don't listen to it, bud. Just don't listen to it. I mean, it's there. I said, Josh, just ignore it. That's not decent. And in verses 1 and 2, he said, look, because you have disregarded truth, now you don't have any mercy. You can't even be kind to someone. You can't even show somebody mercy. You're just going to walk into a building and kill somebody and shoot a bunch of people? No mercy, because why? No truth. No point of authority. Look, why are people... And boy, we've seen over the last 2 or 3 weeks, 4 or 5 different occasions, people walking into businesses or wherever it might be and shooting people. Why are they doing that? Is it because they bought a gun? No. It's because their heart's not right. It's because there's no truth in our nation. And we aren't being taught the truth. We see the profanity of its priests. We see the decline of its decency. And then thirdly, we're talking about the corruption in the land. We see the wickedness of her worship. Now, I want to be careful here, but I think we ought to understand what the Bible is saying. The profanity of its priests, the decline of its decency, the wickedness of its worship. We've already read verses 12 and 13. Look at verse 17. The Bible says, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Now, we're going to come back to that, but speaking to Judah, God's trying to warn Judah, hey, look what's happening to Israel. Hey, Judah, don't you follow along. Let him alone. Leave him. Don't have anything to do with him. Ephraim is joined to idols. In verse number 13, we read about the groves. That's where they worshipped Baal. That's where they set up their sacrifices. Verse 13, they sacrificed upon the tops of the mountains and burned incense upon the hills under oaks and poplars and elms because the shadow thereof is good, because it was convenient, because it was comfortable. Therefore, your daughters shall commit whoredom and your spouses shall commit adultery. The groves provided shade. It provided secrecy. Baal, unless we're all adults in here tonight. I'm not going to try to be inappropriate by any means, but Baal was the fertility god. And the idea was that if Baal witnessed immoral activities being performed at the altar, he would be aroused to give fertility to the land and its people. And the altars of Baal were nothing more than places of constant perversion. In verse 17, when it says that Ephraim is joined to idols, when it uses the word join, it is referring to the act of marriage. Wicked. And they called it worship. They were worshiping Baal, the fertility god. Wicked. The wickedness of their worship. Then let me give you the last thing. We see the controversy from the Lord. The corruption in the land. The profanity of her priests. The decline of her decency. The wickedness of her worship. Baal worship. And she worshiped Baal anywhere and everywhere. On the tops of the mountains. Under oaks and poplars and elms. Wherever she could make an altar. Israel would worship Baal. By the way, why? Because there was no truth. why can this entertainer come out so enthusiastically for Satan worship and not even feel like he's going to get any pushback? Why? Because there's so little truth in our nation. The corruption in the land. Then thirdly, the consequence of their lack. L-A-C-K. The consequence of their lack. Verse number 6. He said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." What are the consequences of her not having truth, of her disregarding truth, of her putting away truth and rebelling against truth and God having a controversy with her? What were the consequences? 3, real quickly. Number 1, despair. Verse number 3, he said, "Therefore shall the land mourn." Number 1, despair. Number 2, dearth, famine. He said, "Everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away." The idea in verse number 3 is they're going to have famine. There's going to be dearth in the land. He said, not only the people are going to suffer and languish, but the beasts are going to languish, the fowls of heaven, and even the fishes are going to be taken away. Despair, dearth. By the way, one of the first consequences of sin, of disregarding of truth, is the removal of God's blessing. That's one of the first consequences. And that's what he says in verse number 3. Despair, dearth, and destruction. Verse number 6. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Verse number 14. He says, "I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses." And the idea here is he has just given them over, as Romans 1 says, to a reprobate mind, if you will, when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore, the people that doth not understand shall, what's the word there? Fall. Destruction. Destruction. The consequence of their lack. The consequences because of their foolishness and their filthiness and their forgetfulness and their faithlessness was despair, dearth, destruction, deportation. They were going to be taken captive by the Assyrians. They were going to be deported. Defeat. We talked about this with the three children, the names of the three children. Friend, here's the point. We know this. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. But sin always has consequences. Walking away from truth always has consequences. That's why we must stay with truth. That's why we must teach truth. That's why we must give it to our kids. That's why we must give it to our church family. That's why we must give it to our families that may not even go to church here, but our friends and our families. We ought to constantly be telling them truth. Why? Because there is a dearth of truth in our nation. Look, from the top down, there's a dearth of truth in our nation. Is there not? You would agree. You know that. You see it. There's no truth. We make laws not based upon truth, but based upon man's opinion. The clip I saw last night, and I'm done and we'll pray and be done. The clip I saw last night, there were some of the legislators, here in the state of Tennessee. They're a little anxious about some of these bills that are being passed because they're afraid that businesses are going to leave the state of Tennessee. Listen, if they're going to leave because of that, let them leave. 2 Chronicles, I believe it's chapter 25. God said, "I am able to give thee much more than this." Let them leave. God can give much more than they could ever give anyway. Look, let Major League Baseball pull their All-Star game out of Atlanta. God is able to give thee much more than this. Just stand for what's right. Do we believe that tonight, if some big business left the state of Tennessee, do we believe that God could fill that void? We should. God is able to give thee much more than this. God is able to fill that void. God is able to, if we'll do right, and if we'll stay with truth, and boy, they're getting anxious. Boy, our governor, I don't know about our governor. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know all these conservative legislators. They're pushing things through. This anti-LGBTQ movement that's going on in Nashville. Boy, we just don't like it. We're scared of it. Listen, I'm not scared of it at all. God's blessing is going to follow that. people doing what's right and standing with what's right, God's blessing will follow that. I'm not worried about that at all. If you need to leave, leave. God will keep blessing. Heaven's courtroom. Don't ever want to have to stand there, do you? Because He's the judge, jury, prosecutor, executioner. Why? Because He is truth. And God help us to stay with truth. Amen. Father, thank You for Your Word. Father, thank You for what You've taught us tonight. Father, would You help us? Would You help us to take these things to heart? Lord, would You help us to tell as many people we can about truth? Would You help us to stay firmly anchored to truth? Because when we start to stray and drift from the truth, it's a slippery slope. Corruption and evil begin to increase and increase and increase, and before we know it, we're involved and engaged in things that we would have never imagined. And God, help us. Help us as a nation tonight, Lord. Help us as Your people to push back against this, to teach our children, to teach our church family, to teach our little ones here in our church what truth is, and to be able to stand for it no matter what comes. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your Word that gives us the confidence and the courage to be able to stand on truth. Father, be with us tonight as we go to our homes. Lord, please give us safety in the weather tonight and with the rain. Lord, I pray that You'd help everyone to get home safely. I pray that You'd be with Brother Benny and Brother Nathan tonight as they take children home on the van. Please, Lord, just protect it. Just help them to drive carefully and safely and help us to be able to get all these children home safely tonight. Bring us back together on Sunday, Lord, and we'll thank You and praise You for it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed tonight.